We are recording from Google for Startup Campus, Google's home for startups. We are now in the Creator Studio, a state-of-the-art video and podcast room available for startups to for free. For more information on all things campus, check out their website, www.campus.co/Tel Aviv.
Welcome to Humus on Tech, the first podcast by Olim and for Olim interested in the Israeli high-tech industry.
We are Maggie and Kevin, and today we're here with Abigail, VP Customer Success and Product at Segmenta. Hi!
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
We want to hear everything about your story. Let's start. What brought you to Israel?
Well, actually, I came here almost a decade ago. I finished university and I came over because my stepmom was actually having a baby.
Oh. Okay.
So I came over, just finished university and didn't really have a plan. Thought I would be here for a couple of months and then go back to the States and ended up loving it, you know, the beach, everything else. You can't say no to that. And found my first job in marketing in the diamond industry.
Wow. Okay, let's make a stop in there. So how was it for you to like work in the diamond industry?
Unique. The diamond industry here, if you know, it's five buildings all stuck together.
And in Ramat Gan.
In Ramat Gan.
Exactly.
And it's literally its own world. You go inside, you don't leave. Everybody's going back and forth with their suitcases full of diamonds, selling back and forth through all the different companies. So I was there for about a year. And then I just had in my mind that I was ready for a change and a new opportunity. There wasn't too much room to grow in the company that I was in at the time. So I decided to leave. And I was thinking to go back to the U.S. Even though I liked it here in Israel, I just probably hadn't even put that much effort into my life here because I kind of fell into my family, was living with my family at the time, and just thought it might be easier if I take another start over. Was thinking New York, something like that. So I quit my job, and then the next day I actually got a job offer to move to Hong Kong.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a plot twist.
Yeah, so that was definitely unexpected, and the offer was actually to go out for 3 months, and so I figured, what's 3 months of my life? Hate it, love it, never been to Asia before, had no idea what to expect, and so I figured, why not? And I went for it, and I flew over there and ended up staying for almost 4 years.
Okay, so those 3 months like really get to extend, right? It was wow.
It's like the reverse story of I do Masa for 3 months and I make Aliyah, but the same thing but for,
Hong Kong. Yeah, you made Aliyah to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Okay, well that seems like an amazing thing. Yeah. Do you want to tell us more about how was it like for the cultural shock? I'm sure that Israel and Hong Kong are probably like two very different places.
Yeah. I mean, when I moved to Israel, I had been here before. I actually went to Tel Aviv University for a couple of months while I was getting my degree. So it wasn't new. I didn't have any shock coming here in terms of, you know, what I was going to expect, what the day-to-day was like. When I went to Hong Kong, I landed and I was just, you know, looking at the tall buildings all stuck together and really had no idea what I was in for at all.
Wow. Okay, and what was your role when you moved to Hong Kong?
I started out in a marketing and biz dev role in the diamond company. And as I said, I was only supposed to be there 3 months. So once I realized that I wanted to stay out there, I started searching and pursuing a marketing career. And I ended up moving to a B2B and B2C baby furniture company.
Oh, that's what's like from weddings to babies. You made it all the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up becoming the head of marketing for a baby furniture company that was selling in 60 countries around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of impact.
Yeah. Definitely a great opportunity and a huge learning experience just working with a completely different culture that, you know, even when you come from the U.S. to Israel, it's different. But then it was just 100 steps more different going out and working with the local people in Hong Kong and my office there.
I'm sure. And like, what would you say were the three main takes that you'd made from like your whole stay in Hong Kong?
That you can really make your home anywhere if you put effort into it. Nothing comes easy. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter that I moved to Tel Aviv and I have family here, but to make friends, to make you feel like you really have a life here, same as in Hong Kong, you really have to work for it. Nothing is just going to be, you know, put on a plate in front of you. And also just working with different cultures. Every culture is so different that each person you meet, you really need to understand that person, where they come from, who they are, in order to be able to work with them, communicate with them, build a real relationship with them. Yeah.
So after that first experience in Tel Aviv, you went to Hong Kong. You came back much more stronger and powerful to stay here.
I think actually the second time I came, it was almost harder than the first.
Please elaborate that. Okay.
I came out and I had had this experience in Hong Kong that was, you know, I had no idea what to expect and everything was new and different. And then I came back here and it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of familiarity, even though it was still new, even though I didn't really have a life outside of my family here and a couple of friends. I just expected it to be easier because I was going back to something that I did know before. And it's not. It's not easy here, but, you know, it's worth it. I'm saying that I had, you know, one of the hardest experiences of my life coming here and looking for a job and really trying to change industries. I came here on a mission to work in startup and tech and all of that. And my prior experience wasn't necessarily in that. So I gave myself that challenge and it really was difficult. But once you push through that, it's so worth it.
How did you succeed?
Not giving up, even though I definitely wanted to at times, you know, the culture here is very intense. And I think it was even more of a culture shock coming from Hong Kong, where people are a lot more reserved, to coming here, where people are definitely not reserved in the way that they communicate. And even though the US is kind of known for being maybe a little bit fake and, too overly nice, even though it's not necessarily with meaning, it was still closer to the way that people communicate in Israel versus coming from Hong Kong to here.
Mm-hmm. So then you found this company Segmenta, where you started as a customer success manager, right? And now you made all the way to being VP of customer success and VP of product strategy. So that's an amazing accomplishment. I want to hear more about
how did, like, how from the diamond industry to all this. This is amazing.
VP at a high-tech company.
Yeah. So as I said, I came here on the mission. I wanted to work in startup and tech. That's what my dad, my stepmom, I grew up in Silicon Valley. That was always kind of my mission. I just kind of took a detour on the way. So I actually started out freelancing before I got to Segmenta.
So freelancing on what?
Different startups, doing content, project management, marketing strategy, really anything I could to get exposed to this world, because a lot of startups expect you to have worked in a startup environment.
Exactly. So this is where I'm like trying to like get to understand, how did you break that barrier from passing from one environment to the other?
First, knowing people who know the right people definitely helps here. Yes, definitely. You need to know that one person who knows that one person who gets you in the door. And then after that, things kind of start rolling. And it was easier to do it with freelance positions because, you know, the commitment is a little bit less on both sides. So people are willing to take a little bit more of a risk, even if your experience isn't exactly aligned with what they're looking for. It's okay because it's short term and then it ends up becoming longer term. And, you know, I ended up sticking it out for a year, but freelancing is hard. You're always looking for the next job. And then I fell into the company that I'm working for now, Segmenta. And as you said, I started in customer success and just really worked my way up, working really hard on anything that came up and found myself where I am now.
That's amazing. It's a great jump.
Yeah.
One question about freelancing. Were you always looking for freelancer's job, or were you looking for actual jobs and trying to pitch a freelancer job where they requested a full-time job?
I started out that I was looking for full-time roles, and as I said, it wasn't easy. I definitely got discouraged at one point just because of the different way that people held interviews here and just very different than the things that I was used to before.
What do you mean?
You know, I think when you grow up in the U.S., you're taught that an interview is supposed to go a certain way. You're supposed to say certain things. You're going to be asked these very specific questions. And, you know, this is what you should be ready for. And when you come here, it's not that. And once you realize it's not that, it's different in a good way. But if you don't expect it, then you have no idea what's coming. So people really want to get to know you as a person and not just you as this person who's interviewing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they expect you to come to know, you know, your life goals and, you know, what is your exact plan for the next 3 years and how are you going to execute it inside of this company and everything else. And because I was coming from, you know, consumer goods into a startup and didn't necessarily have direct experience in the roles that I was interviewing for, because my role in Hong Kong was quite high level and very strategic. I jumped up relatively quickly, so it was less hands-on. And when I came here, I was interviewing for hands-on roles. So it was a little bit hard to, you know, put my experience on a more strategic level to what they were asking me for. And I found it quite challenging because they were, you know, asking me questions in quite an aggressive way that I wasn't expecting. And I didn't know how to respond to that at the time. And now that I've learned, you know, that's how it is here, I think it's so much better. You really know the person that you're interviewing. You don't know this person who comes in and, you know, has a script. And you just need to be ready for it and embrace it. And once you do, it is good.
So you would just suggest, like, to be yourself on the interviews.
Yeah. And, you know, and don't be afraid to. And if they're not going to accept you for that, then it wasn't going to work out anyway in the end. So.
Cool. And eventually you found your role, your role as a customer success manager in Segmenta, and you moved all the way up to VP of product strategy and customer success. Can you tell us more about your journey there, how you found the job and how you quickly moved up through the rankings and now you're the VP?
So I actually found the job through one of my freelance projects. We were working with Segmenta as one of the suppliers for something that we were doing and started talking to the CEO. And from there, ended up, he had a role that suited with my background and brought me on. And it was a small team and I just kind of rolled with the opportunity. Anything that came my way, I took it on. And through that, I just worked my way up to all the different things that I'm doing now.
Wow. I think that's amazing. When you prove yourself and you prove to others that you can take on more work and you are passionate about what you're doing and you want to do it, I think other people notice that and they gave you a chance to join the company as a full-time employee.
Yeah. So I came on as a full-time employee from the beginning, started in customer success, and then started working more and more on the product and the overall company strategy and working a lot with the CEO and the different teams inside of the company. And, you know, that's the best thing about a startup is you can start somewhere and end up somewhere completely different or a much bigger role in a relatively short time. And you can't get that in a large corporate.
And what would you tell someone who is joining a startup, a small startup, and what would you recommend them to succeed there and to succeed?
I think it's easy to look from the outside, having never worked in a startup, and say, come on, like, why do you really need startup experience to work in a startup? I can do it, you know, how hard can it be? But you really need to have the right personality and the right, you know, willingness to do whatever comes your way. So sometimes I'm working on the company strategy and sometimes I'm working on a very monotonous task. And you have to be willing and ready to do all those things and not just do it because you have to, but do it because you're really there to drive the company forward. And, you know, do it with an actual smile on your face because otherwise you're only going to stay around so long.
Mm-hmm. And I know as a VP, you are also hiring people and in the hiring process of new people. Can you tell us more about the process and what recommendation you would give to someone who is interviewing, either at Segmenta or at any other company?
Yeah. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I'm actually surprised how few people even write 2 sentences or 3 sentences in the email where they send their CV these days. It's like, I know we WhatsApp and we send 3 letters at a time and it's perfectly fine, but the people who really put in even 5 minutes of their time, really know what your company is doing, really know what your role is, and send you 1 sentence that shows that you want this job, not just a job, really sets you apart from the first minute. And then from there, just continuing on with that and, you know, first phone call that you have for a role, you should know who the company is. You should already want to know something more and not just come in and make it clear that maybe you're just applying to everywhere that you can, and really do your research. And that's really what's going to set you apart, because you'd be surprised how few people are actually doing that today.
Wow. That's such a pity, because like I think like right now we live in a world where information is so available to all of us, right? Like if you want to learn more about a company, you just need to enter their website or go to their LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in our first episode.
Exactly.
But what I did when I was looking for a job, I actually went into LinkedIn and into their company site, found out who was working in the company, and in the email said, hey, I would love to work in the product team with X or Y, and like with the actual names of the people working there. And talking about the culture of the company, and that really helped me a lot.
Yeah, I mean nowadays the job market is very competitive here. I think like everyone here wants to work in high tech, because this is like basically what it, like everyone in Israel just wants to enter this kind of like environment. And it's very competitive and you want to stand out. And I think the best way to stand out is like to give personality to whatever you're sending, you know, just make sure that people who are reading your email know that you want to enter that specific company or you want to get that specific job, because your skill set really matches.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that what you just mentioned, that like just a few sentences to make sure that you're not just sending 1,000 emails, mm-hmm. which you
or
may.
Or you are, yeah.
But and it's okay, but at least like have the courtesy to like differentiate those emails.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm not looking for a 3-paragraph cover letter or anything like that, but, you know, just put a tiny bit of effort and, you know, that can really be what sets you apart.
And what about the CV? Is there any recommendations on how to make the CV that you would like recommend?
Again, call me old-fashioned, but I don't think that overly designing the CV is necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, just make it clean, easy to read. Check for spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
That's a key, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, in the end, your experience is going to speak for itself. You know, unless you're applying for some design role where we need to see your portfolio or something like that, I don't need to know that you make a beautiful resume. I need to know that probably for many roles that you look at the details, or, you know, you just put in, again, that effort. Little bit of time and effort, and it doesn't need to be, you know, some design project.
That's great. No, it's very helpful that you're like sharing all that, especially because you were able to reinsert yourself into the Israeli job market. So it's something that you probably like know a lot.
Yeah.
So what's the day-to-day like of a VP of product strategy? How is your day like?
So it definitely varies from one day to the next, or probably 1 minute to the next, but
that's more accurate.
I like to come in early because that's my quiet time, because I am doing so many different things and working with different teams, from the R&D team to customer success and marketing and the CEO. People are coming to me all the time throughout the day. So I like to get in at 8:00 and just have my...
That's very early for Israel, guys. It's very early.
Yeah. And just have my quiet 2 hours to just get things done. And the things that I'm trying to get done are mostly... I work a lot on the R&D sprints and writing different specifications for product features and all of that type of stuff. And I just need that time where I can think and focus and write down all those details and get everything in order. And then the rest of the day kind of looks like juggling back and forth between working with the CEO on how we roadmap for the company and the product and everything else, working with the product designers on the different features that they're designing, and then also going back and working with the R&D team on whatever they're working on, whatever questions they might have. And I still work doing customer success as well. So if it's working with customers or also growing our customer success mm-hmm. team, doing a lot of that.
That's amazing. Can you tell us more about the product? What is the product? Like, what are the capabilities of the product? And
yeah. So Segmenta is a B2B SaaS platform, and the core of the software is a survey software designed to let anybody perform market research studies and obtain feedback and collect data. Analyze that data on a real-time analytics dashboard. So a lot of building data visualizations and building the editor to create those surveys and collect the data and integrations and that type of stuff.
And how are you using Segmenta to build your own roadmap for the product roadmap?
So We're using Sigmanta every day. The customer success team offers professional services, so we actually build surveys for our customers as added value. And in that, it's a great way for us to really understand how our customers use our product and how we can better optimize the whole experience because,
So you're actually consumers of your own product.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah. But as you know, we have a tradition here, and to each and every one of our guests, we ask for their favorite Hebrew word of the day, and we would like to hear what's yours.
That one is easy for me. It's stam. Means it doesn't have an exact meaning in English,
which is the beauty of why,
which is why I like it. But you know, it means whatever or for no reason, and it just. There's just so many uses for it.
Right. You can apply it to so many different situations, from like very funny situations to situations that can be like very problematic. It's such a wide range of possibilities with this word. What is your favorite usage of the word?
The one that always comes to mind is when somebody's trying on, you know, an outfit and asks, you know, should I buy this? And I just want to say it's just stam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's like like between like whatever and not worthy. Like
Without saying it doesn't look good on you.
Right.
It's just
it's a great word to like, you know, disguise the whole sentiment about it.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Abby, for joining us on this episode. Thanks to everyone who has been listening to us. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Humus and Tech,
on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, please.
And of course, follow us on social media networks such as Facebook and Instagram at Humus and Tech. And clearly, thank you, Abby, so much for coming and joining us today. Your recommendations were super helpful for everyone that's listening, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.